views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Blood!
King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. Eric. There we go. It's rolling. The whistle's here.
Better late than never.
Eric
right?
is back. Vince is back. We got everybody this week. Bill Huggins. Huggins and Scott Auctions. Bill, I noticed that you already have some preview stuff up for the November auction. I just happened to go to your site. I didn't figure it'd be up there already, but that's cool. You got a lot of stuff. You guys are really working over there at Huggins and Scott.
Yeah, they switched the site over and, this, you know, we normally for the past few years have had a October and a December auction, and this year the guys, everybody decided that we're just going to have a November one. So we actually have an extra month to write. So the November auction is going to be 1,500 or more lots. It's going to be one of the biggest auctions, you know, that we've had in a long time.
Well, I'm going to read some of the stuff off throughout the show today. You've got some good stuff up there already. I was actually happy to see that already. Remember, we talked at a show in the past about the guy who came into T-Crown whose father was the dentist for the Milwaukee Bucks in the 80s.
Had an x-ray or something?
No.
No, that's not
no,
the one.
Not that. No, not that one. But, he was the Olympic team played at Milwaukee Stadium, and he got a basketball signed by the entire Olympic team at that time. And that's when Jordan had kind of like a more like a kid-like signature than not like the fancier signature it has now. But that did get authenticated. It was a great story. I mean, I knew it was going to be real or 99% new. But JSA did authenticate that, so that's going to be in the November auction. That'll be interesting to see how that does. That was some big names on that team. But just having that early Jordan auto on there, that's a cool item.
How many autos on the ball?
I think there were 12 or 14. Wow. I don't remember if there were coaches on that one or not, but there were some cool guys on there. I think Ewing might have been on that team. Wayman Tisdale was on that team. I don't know if you ever knew the story of Tisdale. He was a really good college player and a good pro player, but he died young. I think he had cancer, but he was actually really into music. I guess he was a excellent musician too, and supposedly just a fantastic guy. And he's one of the guys on that ball. So interesting. It'll be fun to watch. And we'll mix in a lot of that other stuff throughout the day. Now, we're giving away an interesting prize here. Vince, last week you never heard from the guy for
I didn't.
Okay. Well, we're going to change the prize this week. It's going to be from Historic Autographs, one of those signed mini bats that we're giving away.
Very nice.
Now, these, I think, are almost all Hall of Famers. I don't know if all of them are. I think Pete Rose might be in there, so you know, he trades like a Hall of Famer. But you've got guys like Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. There's a Jimmy Fox signed bat in there, you know, an oldie. A lot of Hall of Fame, Cal Ripken Jr., you know, all kinds of them. So we're giving away one of those. It's in a long, skinny box, and it's just a bat. Bill, you were asking about that last week. That is how it comes. It's a long, skinny box with just one signed mini bat in it. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, if Vince sneaks away during the show and calls in so he can get in the talk.
Right. Actually, Vince, this would be a good thing to throw in as part of a split next time you're
absolutely
in T-Crown. We've got to do one
of
those.
That's right. They've got Mickey Mantle in there, too, so that's some nice.
There is
nice,
a Mantle
yes,
in there?
I'm
oh,
right
beautiful.
Their, listing
nice,
there,
yeah. So. And then you can tweet me to get in the drawing if you call us at 312 312- 832-3776 with a question about the value of an item. We'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. Or you can tweet an item at TCrownTom. If you send a picture of an item and I use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing. For instance, Superman Todd sent this. I told him I'd ask you what you thought about it, Bill, but I figured a couple $100 for this. It's a neat-looking 1950 Yankees World Series press pin. I saw a lot of 4 years of press pins sold for $400 or $500, so I'm thinking it's probably a couple hundred for that one by itself, unless you know anything in particular about that one, Bill, that makes that more expensive than that?
No, I think you're right. I think it is a $200 to $300 pin. Most of those Yankee pins, you got to get back into the, you know, 20s and teens and stuff before those things start to get into the thousands, really.
Where they really go for some bucks, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I got Keith from Twitter. He had called about this on the show. He's a regular listener. He's actually from Plainfield, but I put up a picture of this on Twitter. This was kind of interesting. I guess when he was a kid, I don't know if he met Muhammad Ali or his dad was going to meet Muhammad Ali. If his dad was going to meet him, I don't know why they used Keith's third grade picture as the thing they got signed. But Ali signed the back of Keith's third grade photo. So,
pretty cool.
You know,
cool.
It's a neat vintage Ali signature. It's a nice signature, and you can't tell from the cut signature that it's Keith on the other side. But I still think that's at least $200-$300, don't you, Bill? I mean, people don't care what's on the other side of the cut. It could have been a piece of cardboard or something that he signed, right?
Yeah, is it the old Big Ali, the Muhammad with Ali underneath it?
Yes, it is. It is. I tweeted a picture of it, and it actually it looks good. Do you think it's more than
that? If it's nice and big and bold, that could be $400 or $500 or more. Those are tough signatures, and with Ali, you know, in his current whatever state, those signatures just don't exist, and they're very, very highly sought after right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And you remember we had that Beatles item where it was signed on the back of the kid's photo.
Yeah, that's right.
The hairdresser, yeah.
That did real well, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, I guess who cares what's on the other side, right, as long as the signatures are good. Now, if it was on the same side of his photo, I don't know if I'd want to be looking at Keith's third grade picture
for eternity or anything.
But I was telling Keith, now that's the perfect thing if he's going to keep that and wants to display it, to take it to Art and Frame in Naperville. And first you find a neat action photo of Ali that you really like, whatever photo you like, and then mat the photo and that little cut underneath it, that would make a great framed piece.
Absolutely.
Then. It's a lot better display than just having a cut sitting there with Keith's photo on the back. So the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away, this is like a $100 prize, a historic autographs signed mini bat. So give us a call with a question about the value of an item. We'll try to give you an estimate. Now, our estimates won't be what Beckett value is. I don't know, Bill, if you ever get conversations on this. Yesterday we had a conversation, and I said I wasn't going to talk about it on the show, but it's actually a good thing to talk about. In the 1980s and 90s, for instance, when people wanted to trade or sell things, I mean, Beckett really kind of was the Bible. There was no internet, really. There were dealer networks where you could see pricing, but there wasn't an internet with eBay or auction houses like Bill where you could see them. Huggins and Scott stuff online.
So
what
you mean
prices
we actually
are.
Survived prior to
we
internet and cell
with
phones?
That. Yeah, somehow.
How did we do it, Tom?
And the Beckett pricing was very important at that time, but I think especially with younger collectors now, I mean, it's all about what they can see in pricing from the internet through their cell phones and whatever. And I mean, I still use the Beckett sum on vintage cards if I'm grading myself, like if I'm pricing a card that's not graded for in the store, I'll figure, okay, if it's a 7, it's like high Beckett. If I have my card looks VG, I might put it at 25% of Beckett and price it that way, and I do it accordingly. But on the new stuff, I mean, I literally don't even really check that. I look at different prices, and I want to see what if they're going up or down on eBay. But on current guys, I mean, when you think about it, it's a printed commodity. They're basically, the day that Beckett hits somebody's store, it's already six
weeks. It's almost outdated.
It's yep. 6 weeks behind. Yeah, because they have all the deadlines and everything. It really, and then, you know, some of the guys, some of the regulars came in and I'd say, Buzz, do you ever check the, no, I never check it. Joel was like, well, he likes to read some of the articles and looks at some things if they aren't online or whatever. But like, for instance, Joel had, I think, some good collectibles from Tyrod Taylor. And I don't know how he finished out, but I think he was having a really good game yesterday. And I think there's a very good chance that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the Bills' starting quarterback this year. So I looked up, I went to eBay and looked up finished pricing on a good card of him, a 2011 National Treasures rookie autograph numbered to 99. On June 20th, one sold for $27. August 18th, somebody got 59 on a buy it now. Yesterday, one sold for 99. So, I mean, if you were working with Beckett, I don't know if Beckett even lists that. I didn't look, but when you think about it, for right now, today, even if you just got the football, Beckett, let's say it came out today, they'd be working on prices from June. Yeah. They'd probably list it, you know, at $30 or $40 tops, you would think.
Like Bill said, it would be outdated by that time.
It is. So it's.
Yeah, I've always told people that the Becketts and then remember the old CPUs and everything, they're guides. They're not gods. They're a helpful tool, but
yeah, it's
reality supersedes the printed guide, you know.
Right, and anything, and not just in collectibles, really in anything, and anything that's for sale, it's only will sell for what you have a buyer for it for. That can even be if you're buying a TV, you know, or whatever. If people aren't buying a certain model of TV, they're not going to sell it at that price anymore. They'll lower it and get rid of them and move on. So, you know, it's just whatever the current rate is on a card. But we still try to give you estimates. There are certain things, especially with more vintage stuff, that it's pretty solid. If vintage graded cards, you usually have a pretty good idea on most of those, unless they're real high grade. Then, Bill, who knows? The sky's the limit on some of those things, right?
Oh, yeah. The vintage stuff, well, you know, those guys, they're not putting up any more numbers. They're kind of done. They're like the old blue chip stocks.
Whereas, yes.
You know, the new guys who change every day, every month, every year, they're your penny stocks that can be a penny today and $1,000 tomorrow, you know.
Right. And, well, and like I was saying to the guy who's still big on using Beckett's, I go, hey, you know, if you can sell your stuff for high Beckett or that's what you're going to hold out for, you know, good luck to you. Maybe you can or whatever. If that's what it's worth to you, if that's what you think it's worth, then don't trade it or sell it if you don't get that. But good luck trying to get that in a lot of cases, because a lot of times, sometimes it's below, sometimes, you know, then, but typically it's not really in touch with the reality of what the hot, especially the hotter new guys are.
Especially with the internet
or
younger kids going on the internet, looking up values, eBay, and, you
right.
know, so.
Look at somebody like Jack Peterson, who a couple of months ago was on fire. Now he's cold. He's been in a slump. He's hardly playing, I think, lately. You know, his stuff was real hot, and now it's gone down some. But, yeah, that stuff, it's you got to check that every day if you really want to stay on top of things. Jeff from Wilmette's on the line. What do you have there, Jeff? Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I've got something that I think is unique. I've got Cassius Clay's driver's license application.
Really?
It, Well, what's interesting is my father-in-law, who tragically passed away a year ago about this time, was the janitor for the building that he lived in.
What year was this?
I want to say it was in the 60s. I actually don't know. I'm not holding it right now, but he was the janitor for the building where he lived, and Kalila said to my father-in-law, I'd like all this stuff cleared out.
Huh.
And so he took furniture, we have it in our house in Wisconsin, and sadly he threw away a box of training tapes.
Oh.
Yeah, really, who knows what they've been worth, but we've got this really nice picture of the family with the kids, and I'm actually trying to get a hold of one of the Ali children to give that picture to them, but the driver's license application is Cassius Clay. It really is unique, and you know, I guess the question becomes, when do you actually auction this off?
Well, Bill, first off, the question would be, is it okay to sell something like that? A driver's license application signed Cassius Clay.
Well, Jeff, does it have his Social Security number and all on it?
It does, yes.
That's the only problem you get into. When people are dead, it's a different story. But we've had some issues where we sold a boxing license from, we were selling a boxing application license from somebody, I don't remember his name, but I got a call from the New York State Police that said, we need this item back.
Oh, wow. Didn't think of that.
Yeah. So, but typically if the person has passed away, then it doesn't matter as much, or even then I guess you could
use... That's what they told me, yeah.
Okay.
What's their Social Security number is dead for all intents and purposes. I think it becomes open market then.
Okay. Well, now could you give an estimate of that, Bill? If you were able,
boy,
to
does it have it? A nice? Is it a big bold signature of Cassius Clay?
No. It's you can definitely tell it's Cassius Clay, and it's an old piece of paper. But it's not a big bold signature, but you can absolutely tell it is. It's him. I mean, it's
right.
No question about it.
My first thought is it's a 1,000 to 2,000 plus easy. We've sold original 60s Cassius Clay signatures for that and then some. I mean, he has been known to sign or did sign Muhammad Ali, a.k.a. Cassius Clay, and those aren't nearly as much as when he actually was Cassius Clay.
Yeah, he was definitely Cassius Clay at this time. You know, it's interesting.
Well, I would say to hang on to it for now and... We'll try to do some more research on that maybe and see what the legalities are of actually selling that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely a neat piece. If this was a boxing contract, you see those sell a lot where,
yeah,
you know, a guy signs to do a fight. But, yeah, I think with
usually typically do not have their Social Security numbers on.
Right, yeah. Well, hang on to it, and who knows, you know, down the road. It definitely has value, big value potential. So definitely don't toss it where, you know, with those other videotapes. Boy, I hate to hear those stories when things get tossed.
Oh, I can't even. Well, it's a story that lives in our family forever. I took this one last thing. I took this application actually out to Las Vegas. I was driving through and took it to that Pawn Stars place, and they looked it up, and they estimated it was $400 or $500 at that time, so about a year and a half ago, which I don't know exactly how they came up with that, but
wow,
you know, that's where they were. But
that sounds
regardless.
So were they actually going to be willing to sell it too?
Yes, I think it's very hard to understand how that place works.
All right,
let me say that. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks for the call. Interesting call, anyway. Well, it's time for a short break. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and we're giving away it's in a box. It's from Historic Autographs, a signed mini bat, almost all Hall of Famers. It might even be all Hall of Famers, but guys like Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Jimmy Fox, and oldies on there. So give us a call if you have a question. Get in the drawing for the signed mini bat. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Pomeni of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're until 8 every Sunday morning from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. And we usually give away a prize. We got a cool prize this week from Historic Autographs, a signed mini bat, lots of Hall of Famers. Vince, you were looking at the list. Who are some of the guys on there you were saying?
Yeah, Mickey Mantle.
Oh, they've got an old Mickey on there.
Yep, they got the three most recent Hall of Famers this year, Pedro and Randy Johnson and John Smoltz. So a lot of good guys.
Bows and Ribbons from Dallas tweeted me, T-Crown Tom, open my 2015 Historic Autos mini bats tonight. One Pedro Martinez and a Reggie Jackson.
Nice.
So, I mean, yeah, that's some good stuff. So give us a call at 312-332-3776, and you get in the drawing. And then Huggins and Scott, the November auction items are already up at HugginsandScott.com. We'll mix in a few things during the show of some of the things that will be in their auction. A lot of great stuff up there already. If you're bored, the weather's bad or something, you want to just look through, and then they keep updating every day. There's new stuff on there, but this one was neat. Christy Mathewson, 1925 signed personal check, $3,500 minimum bid. That was only a few months before he actually died at the age of 45, and he still had a very good, solid signature at that time. Bill, there's not a lot of his autographs out there, are there?
Oh, no. He's probably one of the few major player signatures that are being actively sought after for a lot of collections. And to get a check by him is almost like a guarantee. It almost authenticates itself.
Yeah, right. It's a great signature. I mean, if you've ever seen his signatures, I mean, this had to be real. It looked great on there. Bill, Miller Huggins, 1961 Fleer, you have it?
Yeah.
Okay. I got this lot of stuff from somebody, and there were some 1961 Fleers. I'm flipping through them, and it's like, oh, Miller Huggins. And I'm like, oh, he's got to have this one. I was only asking you as a joke. I knew you had that card, Bill.
I don't have it autographed, though.
No, this one wasn't autographed either. No. Dave from, let's see, 1961 Fleer. He died in 29, maybe 28. That would have been a good trick if you did have that one autographed.
Right. Try to get that one through chance.
Yeah, right. Dave from LaPorte, Indiana is online. What do you have, Dave?
Hey, I got autographed Joe Morgan, Tony Perez, and Johnny Bench 8x10 glossies I got in 1989 at the National Card Convention in San Diego.
Oh, like, do you have three of them in one frame or something, or just three different signed
photos?
No,
they're individual. I made my own all-star team, and they're part of my all-star team.
Oh, really? Huh. Who else is on that squad?
I got Rod Carew, Harmon Killebrew, Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, I think I said Willie Mays, Frank Thomas. I got a bunch of them.
So you have signed photos of all those guys?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, because just the first three together, you know, they're most typically a photo like that's in the maybe $30 range, but some of them are more, and as a lot, I mean, if you had enough of those Hall of Famers, how many of those type signed photos would you even need for a lot? It seems like signed photos just don't go as much as a lot of other signed items, don't you think, Bill?
Well, the 8x10s, there's still a lot of people that collect them, but when people came out with the 16x20s, the 8x10s became somewhat of a dinosaur because they're just not as displayable. And you can buy a 16x20 photo for $6 versus $3 for a 8x10, and it's gigantic, you know. So those are... There still are a lot of people who collect 8x10 photos, though. They
have yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we run those in the auction, and we'll generally put about 20 or 30 or so together in a lot of guys and have a couple of highlights, a Mantle, a DiMaggio, a Williams or something, and they typically get $500 to $1,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like it's bad, Dave. It's just sometimes those will sell less than other items, like if you had single signed baseballs of the same guys,
sure, or whatever. Sure.
But in a nice matted frame, they still can look really good if you get them framed well.
Yeah,
and don't forget,
they're all framed real nice.
Art and Frame in Naperville for your framing needs.
Absolutely.
All right. Next on the line, we have Ted from Chicago. What's up, Ted? What do you have?
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. I have from the Franklin Mint, the classic cars of the 50s with the wall display. They're 143 scale. There's 15 of them from 1987.
Huh. Classic cars of the 50s.
Yeah. They're made by the Franklin Mint.
Oh, huh.
And it's got the wall display in it. I got all 15 of them.
It sounds neat. I've never seen those, but it sounds pretty neat. How many of them did they make? Was it a number?
In the 50s, there was 15 of them. Then they had another.
Yeah, but display. I mean, did they say they made 500 of each car?
That I don't know. I don't know how many of each, but I think they were like $40 a piece back then.
Huh. Have you ever run something like that, Bill?
Well, I think we have. We've got kind of run some of the baseball player ones. I don't think I've run the classic cars and stuff like that. A lot of those things, I think they're more of a fun thing than they are a gigantic value thing. But I would venture to say that it's still worth what you paid for it and maybe a little bit more. They haven't really grown in value, the Franklin Mint stuff yet, but who knows what time will tell.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a neat display, too.
Well, I'm looking at some of these individual cards from what he's talking about on eBay. These are cool-looking cars.
Are they? What are they selling for individually?
They're asking about $50.
Yeah, and buy now best offers.
Best offer type of thing.
Yeah.
But
so
there's a Cadillac Eldorado. It looks really cool. All white decked out, red interior. It's very nice.
Yeah, and now,
it's
Vince,
cool.
Are you thinking of picking one of those up,
you know,
maybe?
What? It looks cool.
I could see you in a classic car. With the ERC,
right,
you know, logo
right.
on it, that
Absolutely.
Would be cool.
Yep.
I could see you in that.
We'll do it.
You know, we were talking about last week the bat. It was a Dick Allen model bat, and signed by Hank Aaron, which is kind of weird. What this brought up in my mind is certain things are more valuable to certain people. When I was young, Dick Allen had a year.
Wait, how long ago was that?
it was before the internet, Bill. Which doesn't that seem like that's like
before
1800s
cell phones,
or something? Okay, but Dick Allen had a year in 1972 for the White Sox that offensively was like maybe the best year I had ever seen. And I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, I'm a teenager. Maybe I was overrating it in my mind. I went back to look at it and see how some of the new stats looked at that year that Dick Allen had. In 1972, he hit .308 with 37 homers, 113 RBIs, which is obviously very good. A .420 on base percentage, which that's big now. Here's where it really stands out, though. OPS plus on base plus slugging, and the plus compares it to other players at that time. 100 is average, 199.
That's amazing.
That's for modern day guys, non-steroid guys, that's about as good as I remember seeing. I think Sosa had a 203 one year, but
you know, that was inflated.
Very
artificially
questionable.
Inflated.
Very questionable. But you know, and an 8.8 offensive WAR. He wasn't a great defensive player, but 8.8 on offense, I mean, that's big. So I think a bat like that, there's certain items that mean more to certain people. Like if you grew up with Dick Allen as one where you were like just awed by a season he had, then for me, that's a $300 or $400 bat. But if you're in a different market and barely even saw him play or don't remember him, he didn't make the Hall of Fame, you know, whatever, then it wouldn't be as big a deal. I think there are things like that that are more valuable regionally than they are maybe nationally. But that also made me think, I thought, wasn't it 1972 that Billy Williams had a really great year that year for the Cubs also? And there was it was a big thing, who's going to win MVP, Johnny Bench or Billy Williams? And Billy Williams finished second to Johnny Bench, and a lot of Chicagoans were irritated about that. But, okay, so I thought, well, I'm going to look at that, too, and see how their stats added up. And Billy Williams, 333 average, also hit 37 homers, 122 RBIs, 398 on base percentage, 171 OPS plus, wow, which is also awesome, and a 7.1 offensive WAR. He, along with Dick Allen, was a negative defense. Hey, Billy wasn't a great outfielder. He was just okay in the outfield. Now, Johnny Bench, he was an excellent defensive catcher. He only hit 270, but especially now as we look back, batting averages aren't that big anymore, really, when you look at it. It's more on-base percentage and run production. Bench hit 40 homers, 125 RBIs. His on-base was 379. His OPS plus was 166, a little lower than Billy's. But he had a 2.4 defensive WAR, so much better defensive player. So, and on a better team, I guess, you know, looking back, I could see why Johnny Bench won that at the time. I'm like, oh, man, that's a raw deal for Billy Williams. But it even when you look at current stats and look back at it, at how they look at things, it makes even more sense, actually, than it did at the time.
And if the Cubs had won something in the early 70s or 69, it made the World Series, maybe, you know, it's a little more hype.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yeah, that's so. that would have definitely helped. Yep. They were such a disappointing team at that time. Now, we were talking how this coming up here now, they've lost four in a row. It'll be interesting to see how the young Cubs handle adversity coming into September. They've never been through a pennant chase. I think they're going to probably come out of it okay, but it'll be interesting.
And I think they have the right manager to lead them.
The perfect manager for doing it.
He keeps things light and upbeat.
But he's not in the batter's box. You know what I mean? That's the thing. He can't bat for him. So it's going to be very fun to watch. I bet the Cubs are going to get some great ratings here in September.
It'll be a fun September.
Especially with as bad as the Sox have been playing. And
the Bears. Yeah, they just looked great last night, didn't they?
I was just saying, at least it seemed like they were hitting better the first couple weeks, where you thought, well, at least they're trying harder. The new coaching, maybe they're going to improve. And that game last night looked like last year. Horrible. Yeah. It was horrible.
There's a word, mediocre, and they're below that.
They're below mediocre.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
My first thought was 6-10 or 7-9. Now I'm thinking more 6-10. But I almost hope if they can't make the playoffs,
Be terrible, and let these guys
blow it up and just get all new guys. So on that note, it's time for a short break, everybody. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, 312-332-3776 is the number. We're giving away to one caller, or if you tweet an item at T-Crown Tom, you get in the drawing. Four from Historic Autographs, a signed mini bat with lots of Hall of Famers, Aaron Mays, Mantle, lots of biggies, Banks, all kinds of big-time
Jimmy Fox.
Jimmy Fox, they've got a big red machine. I think Team signed one in there. So I can't wait to see those. I think it'd be a great gift for somebody. And, you know, if you're looking for a collector for a gift for Christmas, it's around $100, and you get a cool signed mini bat.
For all the wives that are listening to us this morning, make sure, you know, put it on your list for your husbands others.
And did you hear that Sean Connery is in the next Historic Autographs events, by the way?
I do now. I heard it now.
Yes, he's there. All right, waiting on the line is John from Morton Grove. What do you have there, John?
Hey, guys. I got a baseball that my brother actually went out and got the signatures together for my dad years back. It has a lot of the 69 Cubs on it, like Ernie Banks, Ron Santol, Billy Williams, Beckert.
How many total do you have on there, do you think?
What's that?
How many total do you think you have on there?
I have 10.
10 total. Well,
from the team.
I'd try to
no
add
certificates of authenticity or anything like that.
Well, I'd try to add as many of the 69 Cubs to that as you can while they're still around, and you can
get them. Everybody that's still alive. Everybody that's still alive
really?
On the ball.
Okay, well, you got
and
some
then
of
a couple of them are already passed away, you know, like Banks and Santo.
Yeah. I would think with those 10 on there, probably a couple $100 for that ball. If it's in, is it a good white ball with solid signatures on it?
It's in decent shape. A couple of them are kind of faded.
Yeah,
but it's in decent shape. I wouldn't say it's in mint condition. But.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, at least 100 and just, you know, depending on how nice. But it's a good collectible. There's always going to be demand for William Sano Banks and the 69 Cubs, the star-crossed 69 Cubs. I mean, they're always a team that stands out through their history where you thought it was going to happen that year. It just didn't quite.
Yeah, it's always been a kind of a conversation piece when people come.
Yeah, I bet. You know, so that's a neat keeper. It's not worth enough to get rid of that one for now anyway.
Yeah, I wasn't really interested in getting rid of it. I just kind of was looking for an idea how much it might be worth.
Yeah, I'm thinking 100 to 2, just depending on how nice it presents. You know, I turned on the White Sox game the other day, and I think it was Saladino was up, and they were wearing those old late 70s uniforms with the baggy black and white in the collars.
Right, yep.
And it was weird. I see him in the box, and Eric Soderholm splashed into my mind. You know what I mean? It's like it brought me right back to the late 70s.
Is that the team that had Gamble and Greg Luzinski?
77, that was a fun, the Southside Hitmen. Yep. That was a fun season.
Yep.
There were some wild. I remember one time leaving a Sox game in 77, and there were guys like running, you know, in the parking lot, and the way they were getting to their car, they were running on hoods of cars.
Really?
Just like jumping from one hood to the next. It was a pretty wild time, some of those games there. Next on the line, we have Ryan from Kalamazoo, Michigan. What do you have, Ryan?
I've got some Milwaukee Brewers tickets from like 1987, the year they almost made it to the World Series.
The key being almost on that. That's
yeah.
That's kind of Brewer fans are kind of like Cub fans. A lot of almost in there, aren't they?
Didn't they make it in 82?
They
it?
Did. They lost. Yeah, they were
lost
in the
to
series.
St. Louis. Yeah.
That was an interesting team and an interesting series, actually.
Yep.
But I think Thunder Dan might be interested in those tickets.
I was just thinking Thunder Dan would love that.
This is a guy, a Brewer fan who comes in the T crowd, like an over-the-top Brewer fan. But I can't think of anybody else that really wants that. Bill, you putting any value on those?
unless any of them were from historic days or moments or when somebody did something special, they're probably a few dollars a piece.
Yeah, like a 3,000th hit game or something like that, or, you know, that would be new.
Yeah, somebody's 500th home run or something, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any marshmallows? Do you have any marshmallows, Ryan?
What's the connection?
No.
Well, I was thinking maybe if you lit those tickets and, you know, you did a marshmallow over it.
I got them in a little frame in my room next to all my Packer gear.
I knew Packers were coming from this. I that's why I had to give you a hard time. Brewers, Packers, usually they come together, Vince. I knew Packers were coming here. What do you have from the Packers that's valuable?
I forget what year it is. I got an old painting. It's from, I think, the 60s. I forget the tight end, if it's Hall or what his name is.
Max McGee?
No, it's not Max McGee.
Okay.
It's, I forget. It was like Hall or something like that.
Okay.
But it's an old painting. It's a hand painting, and so he's catching the ball, and I think I paid like $90 from it. It's pretty cool looking, but
you'd have to send
that.
Us a picture of that one. That might be worth something. Still, I'd like to see who that was, and I guess so. It's an original painting.
Yeah.
How long ago did you get that?
I got it about 5 years ago. I found it at a thrift store in Arizona.
Hmm.
There weren't a lot of Packer fans there. It wasn't selling too good, but my eyes lit up when I saw it.
Yeah.
I had to take that home, and that's a display. It's my centerpiece in my room.
You know, you got to understand that the Bears just looked horrible last night, so we're not really wanting to talk to an upbeat Packer fan right now.
Hey, we lost Jordy Nelson, and I saw Cobb went down the other day.
Cobb did too? What happened?
His shoulder on his first pass catch of the game.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
I think he's going to be okay, I said. But
how much is he supposed to miss? Anybody
just
know?
Just the rest of the preseason.
We got our fantasy football draft tonight.
Yes, we do.
The first one. And
yes, we do.
Now I didn't know that. I'm going to have to move him down, move
change around your projections.
Up,
yeah.
I know. I had Jordy Nelson was my first pick. Then it was Cobb. Now I'm going to Devontae Adams, I think.
Yeah. Did you already have a draft where you picked Jordy?
No. I got him on my
super
league, though.
Okay. Oh,
so,
yeah.
But I think I'll be taking Adams from the Packers. I got to take one of the receivers.
Yeah, I would think Aaron Rodgers will still get those guys the ball. They still have some deep receivers. And they drafted Ty Montgomery. He'll probably
relevant.
Yeah, might
know?
Have to start picking up his cards, too, if they aren't
That's
too
right.
high.
And Jeff Janis right behind Montgomery on the depth chart for the wide receivers for Green Bay.
So. That was a lot of time to give a Brewer Packer fan.
That was.
We'll try not to do that again. Okay, Dave from Bourbonnais on the line. What do you have? You're not a Packer fan, are you, Dave?
I am not. I'm a Bears fan, even though they look horrible. Yes.
They did look horrible, really.
Yeah, they did.
You know, I was in the past a lot of times, I think, it's preseason. Game three in the preseason really is worse. But after last year when they got destroyed by Seattle in the preseason and I was trying to it's no big deal, but it's kind of like, they might really be that bad. I hope not, but what is this Jay Leno in their offensive line? The guy always letting guys run by him, all the penalties and stuff. I hope he's not going to be starting. I'm not impressed by him. Well, I'm sorry anyway. What do you have there, Dave?
I got a my brother actually has a football with Joe Namath, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, and Jim McMahon, all in the same football.
Oh,
very nice.
You know, I don't like McMahon on there. That's the thing. That was great.
Well, that's my brother's favorite quarterback of all time. He loves Jim McMahon.
For a keeper value, and you know, that's good, but you had three great Hall of Famers on there and then a non-Hall of Famer. That's the one problem with that. How does that affect that, Bill? Does that hurt that much, having McMahon on there, do you think, or was it still real good?
Well, I think what he may have done is changed the theme of it. It's signed by all of quarterbacks who won a Super Bowl.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's that way to come through. That's clutch, Bill. I didn't even think
so
of that.
So Unitas won a Super
Appreciate
Bowl?
That, Bill.
Unitas did win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, he was on the Super Bowl V team. I mean, Earl Morrow in the game, but Unitas was on the team.
Right, that's true. And Unitas came in at the end of
the
Namath
Jets,
game.
Yep.
Where you had to wonder why he didn't really start that game, I guess. But, that's a neat ball. That's got to be... With Unitas on there too, I mean that's big. What do you think of value? A few hundred on that, Bill?
Oh, I think that ball could get close to $500.
Yeah, very nice. Good solid signatures on it, Dave.
Yeah, everything's in the silver pen that they do at the shows. We got them all at the Rosemont Convention Center during their national shows, so we go up there all the time.
Yeah,
so we're
cool.
able to get all of them.
Well, if you are going to add to that, then do add just Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. That's actually a great theme. We were talking about that. A couple guys that come into T-Crown have autographed cards individually signed by each of the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Makes a great collection.
Yep.
I'm surprised that the companies haven't had that as an insert set in a high-end product.
Maybe they will now if they're listening to the show, you know, change their theme for what time you think.
I don't think they like me, Vince. I don't think the card companies like me. I think they like those online sellers now. The card store owner is like a guy with a single card store. I don't think they're fans of me. I don't know. Bill, do you get that feeling ever, having that the card companies seem to be kind of oriented towards the old online sellers now?
Well, I actually... Tom, the card companies are very, very, very interested in helping card stores out because there are so few of them left as opposed to how many there were in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
They will bend over backwards a little bit for you to help you out if you're looking for some product and they have that hobby only stuff that they only sell to card stores. And
it seems like they used to do things like, I don't know. I think they're really starting to focus and figure, and there are so few card stores, maybe we're not going to worry so much about them. And they're coming out with so many, like, really high-end products that the only way you can really even get into those is with the case breaks and those online case breakers. I think they've gone over the top with too much of that stuff myself, but that's my... That's my lowly card store owner opinion on that one. Ken from Schneider, Indiana. How you doing, Ken?
Good. Good. I got two things. The first thing is like an early like 80s baseball, signed team baseball, the White Sox. And on there I got Tom Seaver, Carlton Fisk, you know, like Tom Pachorek.
Oh, that's a cool. Yeah, they had some entertaining teams in that time frame, actually.
Yeah.
Seaver won his 300th game as a White Sox, actually. That was pretty cool.
Right, right. I remember that, actually.
Yeah.
And I was actually at the game when Carlton Fisk tagged two guys off. Guys at home plate. I was at that game.
In New York?
Wasn't that at White Sox Park?
I thought it was at Yankee Stadium, but maybe not. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good ball. I would think with Seaver on there, you're probably at least 100. It's all White Sox, though, from one particular team. Do you know if it was one season team?
I think it was because I got it from a guy whose daughter worked with an Andy Frame usher at the time when they had him at old White Sox Park, at Comiskey Park there, and she got the sign, got them all signed in like 1 year.
Okay, yeah, well, what I would do then if I were you is just try, if you're going to add to it, find that year that they were all on that team and just add guys from that year of White Sox and try to get as many to make it a team sign ball as you can.
Was Soderholm on that team?
Team sign ball. There's like probably 20, 30 singles.
Oh, okay. I thought you only had a few.
No. I just can't. I'm on my way home from work right now. And I just can't. I listen to you guys every Sunday. I just can't think of all the names.
Oh well, thanks. Thanks for listening. You know, I think Seaver wasn't on their '83 championship team, so that would have been the best ball for them from the '80s. But I still think you're looking at over $100 for it, probably somewhere in the $100 to $200 range. And it was maybe we'll tack on an extra 10% because he's a regular listener, right? All right. Well, let's see now. We're already flew by. I mean, it really went fast, without a doubt. I want to get one more thing in here. Illini Brett, on Friday, I put a picture of this up from that 2014 Bowman Sterling. He got a Carlos Correa autograph card numbered to 50.
Yeah, very nice.
Those die-cut autographs from that product are really nice. Yep. I've been going through tons of that with Schwarber's in there and Correa and a lot of other good guys, actually. Schwarber's cooled off the last couple of weeks, but he's still hitting with power. Now, it's going to be interesting with him, too, this last month, see if they found something out on him or is he going to snap back. You know, so this is going to be an interesting month to watch the Cubs, without a doubt.
Yes. It'll be fun, one way or the other.
Now, don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. The auction preview items are up for November already. And, Vince, it's time to do a drawing now for the historic autograph signed mini bat box.
This week's winner is Jeff from Wilmette. So, Jeff, send me your address. Email it to me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to you. Set up delivery at your convenience, free of charge.
Very good. And don't forget HugginsandScott.com. Bidding starts November 2nd, so there's still a lot of time to get things in. You can call Bill Huggins at 301-608-0355. There's previews up now. You can look stuff up. A lot of Chicago stuff on there. There's a Ditka 62 Topps rookie, PSA 7. There's a lot that has Butkus and Sayre's rookies, PSA 7s together.
Nice.
So check out HugginsandScott.com. And have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Sunday.
The preceding program was a paid advertisement. The views reflected are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.